At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Oh, hey, I messed up the intro the first time. We're the HBO boys. We're talking about WandaVision, episode 5, not 4. I'm James, and this is Chad.
I'm Chad.
Episode 5 has a title, It's a Very Special Episode, which is, that's a trope from the sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, where they would have an issues episode, right? Like a character would be caught with a devilish marijuana cigarette, and they'd have to have a whole episode of, you know, digesting their feelings about it.
Right, or they acknowledge that a character is black.
So, this episode, you were right. You called it last week. You said they were going to keep going back and forth now between what's going on in the Hex, as Darcy has named the sitcom bubble, and what's going on at the Sword forward operation space, where they're still trying to figure things out. And this episode, I think, is revealing in a lot of ways, because it kind of shows you halfway through the show what narratives they're trying to push, and so that probably gives you an indication of what is probably not going to end up being true,
right?
In the mystery,
right? I think in this episode they definitely started dealing out the cards, and we can see where they're landing.
So we're gonna have to recap this one because a lot did happen, and it picks up, and now we're in the 1980s. We're doing an 80s sitcom. This is the era of sitcoms that I'm actually probably least familiar with, like, you know, because the Nick and Knight ones tended to be older, so I'm not super familiar with whatever was going on in the 80s. Good Times? I don't know.
Well, there was Full House, Family Ties.
That was the 90s.
No, Full House was the 80s.
Okay.
Absolutely. Family Matters, was that the 80s or the 90s?
That was the 80s.
That was the 80s.
So the plot of what's going on with Wanda and Vision like picks up from the end of episode 3 again, where they have these babies and they're crying all the time and they're trying to, you know, shush them to sleep, which I'm sure is, you know, giving Chad PTSD flashbacks since he also has an infinite home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Agnes comes over, interestingly. And she's like, oh, I heard you can't put the babies to sleep. And Vision's like, how did you hear that? I heard the babies crying. Let me come help. And this is the first weird fuck up, is that, like, Agnes wants to go hush the babies. And Vision says no. And he gives a sitcom reason why. He's pretending to be like the overprotective parent. Oh, did you wash your hands? When was the last time you had the cold or whatever? Oh, actually, just don't hold them. Which trips up Agnes, who then turns to Wanda. She's like, "What do you want to? Should we redo that scene? Should we take it from the top?" Vision kind of fucked things up.
Yeah, and it was strange. It's the first time there's been a break like this, where it's like in character but out of character, and like actors are acknowledged. Usually, when there's a break like this, it's just rewound or cut past. We don't see this interaction where it's actors talking.
And Agnes seemed to be waiting on that. She's like, aren't you going to say no and set things back? No? Okay, well, let's just keep going then, I guess.
Right.
And Wanda doesn't seem to care, but Vision thinks it's very strange, because Wanda doesn't do any cuts, and so this is all now, like, in the canon of the sitcom, she's saying this, and Vision's like, isn't it pretty weird that she was asking to take it from the top, like, we're in a show?
Yeah. And Wanda, it almost seems like she doesn't notice it. Like, either she's playing it off really well, or she's, she is, I don't know, oblivious to it. It was weird. It was a weird break.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is that probably, like, Wanda isn't bothered by it, because she's also, like, she's playing into it, right?
Right.
It's not something so extreme to her that she's going to use her powers to rewind it. But because she is at some level keyed into what's going on, it doesn't strike her as weird that someone might be like, should we start the scene again?
Well, maybe she can't rewind it.
But I've got some before.
I've got some theories, though. and we'll get into it later. Let's continue with the recap.
What happens next is very strange. Agnes is like, oh, I've got a spray bottle with lavender on it. It'll soothe the babies and put them to sleep. And so she's spraying them with this mystery liquid.
Right.
And Vision's not cool with this. He's like taking Wanda aside to talk about it. But the babies stop crying. And they're like, oh, look, Agnes did it. But no, it's not that the babies stopped crying. It's that they aged up to like elementary schoolers.
And this is especially strange here because everything else in WandaVision is very much intentionally playing on tropes from the era that the show is taking place in at the time. And like the lavender spray bottle thing, it seemed so out of place compared to the rest of the sitcom-y things that were going on. I don't know if you felt the same way, James, but it felt removed from the rest of like the kitschiness of the show.
Yeah, and it seemed like something that was forced, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This is something Agnes really wanted to do. So it plays into like, oh, she's a witch and she's spraying them with some kind of potent to age them up.
And I think that the lavender thing is also might also be a reference to her witchiness because I mean lavender is a very witchy herb, is my understanding.
Then we get the bizarre 80s intro sequence. It's the song about making things up as you go along. Is that relevant to the plot? I'm not sure. But we see a lot of scenes of like Vision growing up from a baby Vision, which never happened. He was born as an adult.
I love that.
I don't know. Was there anything else weird about the intro? Like worth remarking on?
Well, I mean, we saw shots of both kids growing up too, which we know didn't actually happen.
Yeah,
I mean the intro. I think the intro is mostly meant to be a gag. even Elizabeth Olsen's sisters, the Olsen twins, they were in Full House, and some of the intro like kind of mirrored the Full House intro, which was kind of funny.
Just a second, now I'm a little confused on what the next scene was after the intro.
What was the next scene? it was they had the dog in the sink.
Oh, it was that. Okay, yeah, I was just something happened in Sword.
Wait, maybe we did go to Sword first.
Give me a second here. I'm now opening up the video to see what happened.
This is the least professional episode we've ever done.
It's all going to be cut out. Everyone's going to think it's amazing. We cut to Monica waking up in the medical facility of this like Shield's operation base. She's being tested by, what is it, like an MRI machine? It's not clear.
Some strange portable MRI machine.
And we hear some of like the questions that was perhaps being asked to her as she was like being rushed to the hospital or whatever. And it's Director Hayward is like, you know, what was it like? How did it feel? And she's like, oh, I just felt like an overwhelming sense of grief and hopelessness. And it hurts. It hurts to be in the Hex. Like. Which is really fucked up.
She described it as grief. She felt grief.
And she meets Jimmy and Darcy for the first time. There's also this is almost like a throwaway line, where the medical technician comes back and is like, hey, your x-rays are blank for some reason. Can we do it again? And Monica's like, no.
Right. Can we test your blood? No. Can't do that either.
So I understand from Googling it that Monica has powers in the comics.
Yeah, she's the character Photon.
Okay.
She's basically like a discount Captain Marvel. She can absorb and shoot energy and another one of those characters that they've been around for a while, but I don't really know too much about them.
Okay, but yeah, that I would assume this is signposting that she has powers because she can't be X-rayed or whatever.
I've read a lot online where people think that the combination of being blipped and then being pushed out of the Hex like gave her powers. But if that's what happened, then that's just the lamest thing I've ever heard.
I assume she got her powers out in space when she was a space ranger.
Does she know about it?
I assume she knows about it, too.
She does.
It's probably her big secret. And I think Hayward also knows that something is off about her. She has powers or something. And I think that's why he doesn't want her to go back into space. And I think that's why he sent her into the Hex to try to get rid of her.
It's interesting I don't know if this is the same scene. I think it might be. But Captain Marvel is mentioned in that conversation. And Monica looks like visibly distraught when her name is mentioned, and she kind of like changes the subject. Maybe you're right. Maybe something did happen, and maybe Captain Marvel, like I said, she's kind of Captain Marvel light. Maybe Captain Marvel did something to her, or wasn't there to help her or do something. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation. We really don't have anything to go on, but there's some animosity there, which I'm sure they're going to explore in the episodes to come. I hope this doesn't mean Captain Marvel's going to show up. I really don't want this to be, you know, Avengers 5, where, like, we have Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel and this person and that person coming back. I want this to be able to stand on its own. And I feel like every time a character is added, I mean, we'll get to it, but every time a character that we're familiar with is added, it's going to take a little bit away from the show.
Also, there's a few more strange things that are just kind of like casually tossed around. But we do get like the security footage of Wanda storming a top secret SHIELD facility and taking Vision's corpse. And I don't think she didn't kill anybody, but she did it kind of violently. And there are a number of bizarre lines here. Hayward is like, resurrecting Vision is a violation of the Sokovia Accords. What? Weird. And then Jimmy Woo is like, yeah, it also violated Vision's will, which was to never be resurrected or turned into a weapon or whatever.
Right. That was weird.
So Vision had a will, and in it, he specifically said, don't resurrect me and use me as a weapon or put me in a sitcom. And it's also in the Sokovia Accords treaty. They were like, it's illegal to resurrect superheroes. If they're dead, they're dead.
Well, is that what... see, I thought I kind of read it. I tried to make it a bit more... make more sense in context. Vision is a powerful weapon, and it would make sense that they would have some kind of clause about the construction of sentient weapons.
Right, you're not supposed to make them, or in the event that they break, remake them.
Right. Basically, they're treating Vision as like inhuman, in the not a inhuman. That's another Marvel property. Non-human when it comes to the Accords, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, so some weird shit in these scenes, in the sword scenes, and you know, it's hard to say what's going to come back. But something that they are pushing is that, like, oh, Wanda is the bad guy. She's behind this. She's the one doing all... That's the answer to the mystery. It's just Wanda being evil. And if they're saying that in episode 5, then it is certainly probably not the case.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say.
Yeah, I don't think Wanda's a... I think that footage was doctored. I think we're going to find out later that... You're right. He's trying to suppress Monica. And to do that, he's manipulating Wanda and... he fabricated this footage so that they could go in and take her out without questioning her. And like, I think there's definitely a plot. I think that the SHIELD boss is more important than I thought he was. I thought that he just had to exist, but now I'm thinking that he could be the villain of the show.
So we get some more 80s sitcom pablum. The kids want. They find a dog outside. The dog has no collar. They bring it back in. You know, it's the sitcom situation. They're trying to hide the pet from their mom, but she figures it out.
Can we keep him?
And Vision offhandedly says, like, I think we should wait till you're 10. And so they immediately age up into being 10 before their eyes.
Right.
And this time we see the transformation. Like, they turn from littler kids into 10-year-olds. Which was strange to see. And immediately after that happens, coincidentally, oh, Agnes walks in the house.
Carrying a doghouse.
And then one thing that happens is that Wanda uses her powers right in front of Agnes, and Vision freaks out, like, hey, aren't we supposed to try to be undercover? Like, aren't we trying to live a normal life? Why are you doing magic in front of Agnes? And Wanda just blows him off. She's like, oh, whatever, Agnes is cool. Which is strange, because now, like, Wanda's dropping, like, any pretense of, like, the original story, which is that they were here to, like, make a life in secret, and now she's just doing things openly in front of Agnes. So it's like she is trying to slowly but surely basically manufacture Vision's consent to all the weird shit that's going on. But yeah, the dog may be strange. Agnes is always around when the kids age up. She was on their property when the kids were born, so she seems to be related to the kids and their bizarre aging process somehow.
Right. Which, and also, in the very first episode, she was the first one to push Wanda into having kids, I believe.
So Agnes is up to some evil witch shit. That much is clear.
Yeah. If anyone thinks that she's not a major character, it's not gonna be revealed that she's some kind of powerful major character. I mean, then again, James, you always say Marvel likes to play these fucking games. Maybe they're right. They're pushing Agnes so far into our faces that's going to be the rug that's pulled out from under us.
Possibly. I just wonder, you know, if you get a big name actor for your show. I mean, yeah, so they did this in Iron Man 3, right? But so are they just going to do it again? Well, that's the thing that trips me up. It's like, are they just going to do the Mandarin again with Agatha Harkness? So are they going to do this a third time in another show?
Pulling a Marvel. No, if they're going to do it, they can't do it the way they did it in Iron Man 3. That was so disappointing. And not least of which because they made the new version of the Mandarin so interesting, and then they just threw it all away. So,
well, see, I as a comics or as not a huge comics fan who know nothing about the Mandarin, I thought that it was clever, and I thought the scene where you meet the real Mandarin was funny. But I can understand how a true blue Marvel comics fan might have felt cheated.
Yeah, it's like finding out that the Joker is just some guy pretending to be the Joker.
Yeah, I'm just an actor paid to act like a crazy clown. Like,
right.
Really, you know, Trevor Falcone is the one behind the crimes. Like, we go back to S.W.O.R.D. headquarters, and Darcy has come up with a theory. Well, this is interesting. First, they go and examine Monica's outfit, which she left the Hex with, and they realize that, like, it hasn't changed back, but it is, like, a alchemical transmutation of her outfit, because she had a bulletproof vest on, and so now the hip 70s vest she was wearing is also bulletproof. So these things change, they keep their properties, but they don't stop existing once they leave the Hex.
Right. So everything that went in it's actually physically changing. So this is the first time that we get confirmation that it's definitely not an illusion. She is actually, the reality in the Hex is definitely like morphing the matter inside of it.
And we also perhaps get a confirmation that things either affected or created by the Hex may be able to continue existing outside of it.
Yeah.
So Tommy and Billy might leave the Hex.
Well, or and Vision might step out and be fine.
And a fucking Quicksilver might also.
Spoilers.
But we'll get to him. So using that logic, they come up with the idea that, like, oh, what if we send in some technology from the 80s? Then it won't need to be changed to adapt. So we'll fly in a 80s-era military drone into the Hex and try to contact Wanda that way, which, it's a little bit strange. They do that. But the drone doesn't appear on the WandaVision broadcast that Darcy is watching. And they are able to talk to Monica, that is able to talk to Wanda, and she's trying to reason with her, but it clearly makes Wanda angry, and she starts to use her powers. At which point, Hayward's like, okay, now launch the torpedo at her. Which, two things, like, oh, so he wants Wanda dead, so if he is behind this, whatever he wanted to get out of it, he apparently already has. Cough, the kids.
Never.
And then also, like, are you so dumb that you think that you're gonna kill, like, maybe the strongest Avenger with a single torpedo?
Right. Surprise.
Well, maybe if he gets her, like, while she's doing a scene from Home Improvement, I guess, like, just totally while she's unawares and not using her powers. But it doesn't work out. In one of the craziest scenes so far. Wanda comes out of the bubble. She threatens everyone in S.W.O.R.D. She does, like, a Magneto. She doesn't, like, take the guns and point them all at everyone else, but she, like, controls everyone to point the guns at who? Was it the...
The director.
At Hayward. Okay. Which was a very Magneto move. Magneto straight up does that in the first X-Men movie. And she threatens them, and she's basically like, you leave me alone, I leave you alone. Everything in the Hex is mine. Fuck off. And Hayward's like, okay, but that includes like a thousand or more people that you kidnapped? And I don't think that Wanda doesn't even necessarily address that. She's just like, yeah, whatever. Bye.
Right. So their interaction, Wanda and Hayward, did you pick up, there was some familiarity. Like, it was almost...
Yeah,
like,
they, as if they knew, had already met, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So... Yeah.
And that plays into a theory that I haven't, and I guess I'll just say it now.
No.
So, I think that largely, Wanda is under the control of somebody else. It could be Agatha, it could be whoever. I don't think that she's aware of everything that she's doing, and I think that when we see her in her greatest fits of aggression, I think that is somebody else controlling her. And I think that in this scene, we might have seen somebody that knows the director speaking through her. Because there's too many things happen that she is confused about. I mean, in the first couple episodes, she was surprised that she had agency in this world. And later on in this episode, she even says, and I believe her, that she doesn't know how it started, but we're here now, let's make the best of it. And I think that's the real Wanda. And I think that largely Wanda is playing the part because she likes it here better than she did without Vision, when Vision had a hole in his head.
And we should say that, like, in the scene before the drone shows up, she's, like, talking to the kids, and she is saying, like, you know, she's happy with them as a family now, but she does often like still feel sad when she thinks about her brother.
Right.
And it's almost like, oh, well, everything for Wanda has to be perfect here. So if there's something she doesn't like, it immediately gets fixed.
Right. Not so subtle, also, not, yeah.
There's also a very bizarre scene with Vision in his office, and they're getting their computer set up on the internet. I wondered if this was another part of Darcy's plan, was to like send a 1980s like computer into the Hex to see where it ended up.
Right. And
they get an email from S.W.O.R.D. and they're reading it, and it's trying to say like, we're trying to contact, what did it say exactly? Like,
it,
I'm trying to remember. It's from Darcy.
It didn't clearly say that Wanda was a target, did it?
It just said like, we're trying to contact Wanda, like Wanda, please like make contact with S.W.O.R.D. or whatever.
Right.
And Vision thinks this is really weird, and Norm, his office friend, is like, oh, it's just some prank joke email. At which point, like, Vision finally gets it. He's like, oh, that's not something someone would say in this situation. And he taps Norm's head, and Norm snaps out of it. And again, he's like, she's in my head, she's controlling me, it hurts. Which is so dark that the people in Westview are, like, walking around doing sitcom shit, apparently in terrible pain.
Right, and they're aware of it.
Yeah.
They're, like, watching themselves be controlled. And when Vision snaps him out of his trance, you see a yellow flash from the Mind Stone. And we know, like, Loki, when he had the scepter with the Mind Stone in it, he was able to manipulate people's minds just like everyone in this place. So Vision is very literally calling upon the powers of the Mind Stone.
And he doesn't say, Wanda's in my head, Wanda's controlling me. He says, she's in my head, she's controlling me, which keeps it vague, keeps the window open that, okay, maybe this is something Agnes is doing. The ending of like the sitcom plotline is a little strange to me. So the kids are looking for their dog who got out, and they come up with the mailman helps them look, and apparently, this is so strange, the dog died off screen. And Agnes found the dog. At which point, Agnes and the kids are both kind of pressuring Wanda to bring the dog back to life, which she does not want to do. There's 2 points to that. Is it something, A, that Wanda is even capable of doing? Are they trying to convince her that she's capable of doing it? Two, if she is against bringing the dog back to life, did she, was it her decision then to bring Vision back to life? Okay, you know, what are her true thoughts, actually?
I've got a lot of things to say about this scene.
It seems like the boys, because they're so upset and hurt by the dog's death, that they might age up again and want to implore them not to do it.
Right. Okay. Tag me in.
Okay. What's your theory?
My theory. I got a couple things to say. So first of all, you're right. Agnes finds the dead dog. It's worth noting that Agnes also had the plants that the dog ate that killed it. So, I mean, she killed the dog. And side note, that Vision had a dog named Sparky in his comic book, and he also died the same way. I think that Agnes is trying to get the kids to age up quickly, because every time that she's there, they either are about to age up or just aged up. And so in the first scene, she sprays them with that water. We see them as 5-year-olds or whatever. And then they find a dog and, oh, lo and behold, we're too young to have this dog. How old? Oh, 10. They age up to 10. She probably planted the dog. Then she knows, oh, well, I can give them a tragedy to try to live through, which will make them want to age even further to get past it. So she kills the dog in hopes that the kids age up even further. I think that she's trying to get them to become adults. Again, I don't know why. I mean, they're clearly very powerful. Maybe she wants them to become adults so that they can do something. But I don't think that Agnes was trying to push Wanda into bringing the dog back to life. I think that she was surprised by that, just like the kids were. Because she says, can you really do that? And it had the same kind of genuine air about it that she had earlier when she asked Wanda if she needed to redo the scene.
Yeah, so it seems to me that the hex belongs to Agnes. And yeah, her mission or whatever, if it's something that she wants to do or something that she has been tasked to do, is get her hands on some sentient weapons.
Right.
So, the ending of the episode is the one that drove everyone crazy. Vision, at home now, seems to more or less have most of it figured out. He's like, this situation is weird, everyone's being controlled, they seem to be under your control, I don't remember my life before this, why can't we leave, what's outside of town? And he even says, like, I'm scared. And right. Wanda's response sounds authentic, but we already know, like, she's been lying to Vision a lot, but she does say, like, I'm not in control of everyone. How would that even work? So I'm controlling everyone, even though, like, they're all going about their day doing stuff. I'm micromanaging every single one. How would that even work? It's nonsense. And Vision gets angry and, like, flies up like he's going to fight her, and she flies up, she's going to fight him. And just as things are about to come to a head, just as, like, the whole mystery will either have to be solved or we're going to fight, there's a ring of the doorbell. This is exactly like in The Truman Show, when Truman is ready to throw it all away and finally figure out what's going on outside of his town. What happens? Oh, they bring back the long-lost dad character.
Right.
Which totally distracts and placates him. And so before Wanda and Vision can have their big confrontation, ding dong, oh, it's my dead brother, my long lost dead brother Pietro is back. And this is the fucking, the craziest shit. It is not the actor who played Pietro in Age of Ultron. It is Evan Peters, you know, from American Horror Story, who played Quicksilver, whose same name, Pietro Maximoff, in the Days of Future Past franchise, the X-Men franchise.
Right.
But she seems to, after a moment, recognize him as Pietro and, like, welcomes him back. And that's where the episode ends. But interestingly, this Pietro does not know Vision, even though the other Pietro, I think, did meet Vision, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the big final battle.
With Ultron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, well, actually, he was in the room when Ultron made Vision. Not when he came to life, but he was there.
So a few things about this. the first place your mind goes, oh, they have ripped him out of the Fox X-Men franchise universe and pulled him into this one because they couldn't get the other brother because he's dead, and Agnes wants to make life perfect, or whoever wants to make life perfect for Wanda and wants to end this argument. Let's bring in Pietro to distract everyone. But we can't get the one who's dead. Let's get the other one from the other reality, right? That's the first place your mind goes. A lot of people are saying, no, this is misdirection. Temper your expectations of the multiverse shit.
No, it's gotta be. How could it not be? The character had too much popularity. Like, he was the breakout star of Days of Future Past. And
yeah, if they were going to take anything from that awful movie, X-Men Apocalypse, they would take him.
Right.
And here's another thing that I don't think a lot of people have been talking about. This is the 80s era episode of WandaVision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost a little bit clunky. In the S.H.I.E.L.D. scene, they were like, this is Wanda Maximoff, birth, 1989. Like, okay, why is that relevant? Why are you giving us, you know, her birth date? And then I thought about it. Oh, this is the 80s episode. Wanda and Pietro weren't born until 1989. But you know who was alive in the early 80s?
The other one.
The other Quicksilver, right? So if this is some kind of weird temporal, like the Hex is actually like traveling through time, the Quicksilver they would have ended up with, it would be the 80s one.
So it's interesting that you say that. It was pointed out to me that almost every character in the show has a watch. There's clocks everywhere. There's a lot of references to clocks and to time. One of the commercials was for a Strucker watch. I think they're trying to hint that they're playing with time. I mean, they're quite literally playing with time with the sitcom genres, but maybe there's more going on there. Maybe it's not appearing to as these different decades. Maybe it's actually traversing through them.
Right, and we have not yet gotten any indication that, as I've said in the previous episodes, Wanda was a huge Nick at Night fan, or any of this is meaningful to her. But, like, I don't know, maybe Agnes's thing, aside from being a witch, is that she's, you know, a couch potato who loves to watch TV or something. But, well, okay, so what do you think that this is Pietro from X-Men, which is now Disney owns them. I remember back in the day, this was just like a weird curiosity. It's like, okay, Days of Future Past and an Age of Ultron are like coming out in a similar time frame. For some reason, both Fox and Disney had access to Quicksilver because he's like somehow like in the X-Men and in the Avengers at different points in time. So like they split the difference. Is that what happened?
Yeah, the caveat was that Marvel couldn't use the word mutant, and they couldn't include Magneto in his backstory. Okay.
And so at the time, this was just like a pissing contest, I thought. I thought, like, oh, putting Quicksilver into Days of Future Past is just thumbing their eye at the MCU.
Right.
But thumbing their nose, you don't thumb your eye.
That would hurt a lot. So I think that the average viewer who's not, you know, us who, you know, we either have history with the comic books or we deep dive into these shows and we're Marvel fanboys and we soak it all up. I think the concept of a multiverse is foreign to more people than we think. And I think the X-Men movies were really popular, and Quicksilver especially in those movies. I think that it has to be him. It has to be the same guy, if only to help the layman better understand that there is a multiverse and what that means, and how like one character from one show can be plucked from one universe and put into another. I think that this was a clever way for them to introduce the concept without also piling on a bunch of explanation and exposition.
Right. So, will we at some point have the X-Men in the MCU because enough of them are going to be ripped from their home dimension? Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah, I think they're going to pick and choose. I think they're going to get the characters that they want and that will assign onto contracts and pull them into the MCU. And for the rest that they want to bring in there, it's a multiverse. It's not a do-overse. We just pull versions of them from different universes. I think that's exactly the plan. In fact, I think it's already been confirmed that Deadpool is going to be in the MCU. So Deadpool, hey, you're in. You're a Marvel property that's going to make
made
money.
The cut.
Exactly. You made the cut.
If you watched the game theory, not the film theory rather, episode where he's trying to explain how it's going to end, he makes a comment that like, okay, so Billy and Tommy are now going to be the first super people born with their superpowers. So in that sense, are they not mutants?
Ah, I didn't think of that. But that's it. So in, oh shit. I was just going to say, in 100 years, there might be, 50 mutants? But they were born in the 80s. So if they really are playing with time, maybe that's what they're going to do.
Wanda's going to give birth to 300 kids who are going to grow up to be the cast of the X-Men. Oh my god.
No, I just mean if they're going to introduce the concept of mutants while in these different time periods, maybe what's going to happen is that's going to spark the mutant revolution kind of retroactively. You know, maybe that's how they're going to retcon mutants into the MCU.
I still like the idea that like Wanda erased mutants from time and at some point she's going to undo it, and then, you know, the Falcon or whatever is going to be like, oh shit, that's right, the mutants were with us all along. Wolverine helped us fight Thanos. I just forgot because Wanda took them out of the timeline.
Right, and then they're going to like show clips from those movies with like Wolverine thrown in there, like CGI'd in there.
Like, I think we all take it for granted that the X-Men and the Fantastic Four are coming.
Right.
And they will have to think of some bullshit way to explain why they weren't here in the first place.
Right. Well, or the
Fantastic Four is easy, because the Fantastic Four had their accident out in space. You could say, like, they got sucked into a wormhole in the 60s, and now they're back. Like,
maybe we meet them in the next Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope that this is Evan Peters' Quicksilver from Days of Future Past, but I wouldn't put it past them for this to be a fake out, although they already faked us out with the multiverse shit in Spider-Man 2. Are they going to do it again? They have to pull the trigger at some point. We know Wanda is in Doctor Strange 2, called Multiverse of Madness. We know Tobey Maguire is going to be in Spider-Man 3, so is this when they finally pull the trigger on that, I wonder?
Or do we get to Doctor Strange and there is no multiverse? That, too, was all a ruse.
Right. There is no Doctor Strange 2. That was just to trick us into thinking the ending of WandaVision would be different.
Right. So, a couple of things. So, one theory that I've got going for this show, and kind of how the whole world has been constructed. In episode 4, Jimmy Woo says, the town doesn't want me here, it's repelling me away. But despite that, Monica is able to get in. And not only does she get in, she's literally sucked in. In this episode, Monica says, she could have killed me. She made sure that I landed safely. She's a telepath. She was in my head. She must have needed me for something. I think that maybe Wanda, this goes to my theory, my earlier theory, where she's being controlled. I think that maybe Wanda did pull Monica in and did protect her when they pushed her out. And I'm thinking, the point is, I think that Geraldine was brought into the storyline because Wanda needed to send a message or needed her to help her with something. And the other one, Agnes, likely, discovered her before Wanda was able to get whatever she wanted out from her. And then hex.
Wanda didn't like that she brought up Ultron and you know, broke her suspension of disbelief. Agnes didn't like her from the start, apparently.
Right, she didn't like her being there. And if she really is under this illusion, why would she have any inkling?
And so, like, let's say, you know, Wanda's being controlled, but there's some shred of her still in there, and she can act on the things she wants to do so long as it's in, like, an Agnes-approved way. So, right. Like you said, she threw Monica out in order to have an ally on the outside, but she made it look like she was angry in order to fool Agnes.
Right. Exactly.
We shall see. I am hoping for all of these things to have payoffs. I don't like, as they say on Red Letter Media, the twist in our story is that it's less interesting. Like, you know, which yeah. is, that's a bit of, I think, you know, you could say that's the Mandarin a little bit.
Yeah, they're piling so much on in this show, and they're causing people like us to speculate so much that I hope it doesn't end up like Lost, where they just kind of drop all the storylines, and then the conclusion's not very satisfying because it in an attempt to be surprising, they just pull something out of their ass.
Right. That is the Last Jedi sort of way to do a twist. It's like, oh, all these interesting things that you thought were up in the air, they're not actually nothing. Don't worry about it.
It is Disney.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. You can catch me and Ryan later in the week when we do our Barry recap. Chad will be back with me next week at this time, where we're going to talk about the 6th episode of WandaVision. Hey, we're nearly at the end.
That's the title.
Before you go, Chad, we should say there a new trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier just dropped.
Yeah, that.
And it didn't look any better.
No, it looks like it's going to be bland, and the jokes are going to be forced, and it's basically going to be. It's like the most. If WandaVision was able to subvert our expectations for what a Marvel movie could be, this one is right on the money.
Yeah, the comedy, especially in both two trailers, not good.
Not good.
And hey, they're bringing back Peggy Carter's granddaughter from Captain America 2 and 3, everyone's favorite character.
Right. Hey, maybe if it turns out that she's Captain America's granddaughter.
So do you know why they made that character Peggy Daughter's granddaughter, and you know why they had her kiss Captain America in Civil War?
No.
Because they were worried that the general audience was going to misinterpret Bucky and Captain America's relationship and think that they were in romantic love.
Oh, come on. that can't be true.
That's very funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, that was a towards the end reshoot. They're like, no, we better have Captain America kiss a girl in this movie. Otherwise, people are not going to get what we're going for. Like,
yeah, it felt like a reshoot.
Yeah, and Chad will be back next month, and I'm sure we'll do a deep dive on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I mean, it should be fun because I think it's going to be bad. If they're putting their best foot forward with these two trailers, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot less to talk about.